We're going to talk about the conditions for the permissible acts to become acts of worship. That's what we're going to focus on, inshallah, for today with this topic. Okay, I want everybody here to understand that permissible actions are actions such as walking, eating, standing, talking, wearing clothes, and etc. These are things which Allah has permitted us to do. However, we should not consider these actions to be acts of worship themselves. Okay? For example, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man standing outside in the sun, so he asked him, "Why are you standing out here in the sun?" And he said, "Because he made a promise that he would fast, and he would not sit down, and he would not be in the shade." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to go sit down in the shade to speak, and to speak, because these things are not acts of worship. Okay? Instead, permissible actions are a means of performing acts of worship. So we cannot say, for example, that walking is an act of worship. But what we can say is that walking can be a means of performing acts of worship. For example, when you walk to the mosque, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for each step that a person takes to the mosque, one of his sins is forgiven. Okay? So that's an example of how a permissible action such as walking can become a means of performing actions of worship. Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, a person should only perform the acts, the permissible acts, that will enable him to perform acts of worship. And he should also intend by doing them to be able to perform the acts of worship. So again, permissible acts such as walking, eating, standing, talking, wearing clothes or whatever, they cannot be considered acts of worship in and of themselves, but they are a means of performing acts of worship. Now, in order for us to perform permissible acts, which can become a means of worshiping Allah, there are conditions that must exist. And one of those conditions is that the permissible actions must be legislated by Allah. Okay? It must be an act that is legislated by Allah. So when the Muslim performs permissible actions, he should do so believing that Allah has permitted it for him. For example, it's when we leave away from doing things the way Allah legislated that we end up with innovation and bidah. And we'll go back to the example of the brother who was fasting. He felt that by standing in the sun all day, depriving himself of shade or comfort, he thought that this would bring him closer to Allah. And this was incorrect. We have to remember, guys, that all acts of worship must be performed the way that Allah and His Prophet legislated. We cannot sit up and make up our own things. And that's why we stress the sunnah here at this website. Okay? We stress the sunnah here because all acts of worship must be performed the way Allah and His Prophet said. You cannot add to it. The Prophet said, whatever brings you closer to a paradise, I have told you of it. And whatever brings you close to hell, I have told you of it too. So we have to stay away from innovating or introducing things into worship, thinking it's going to bring us closer. I'll give you another example. There are so many Muslims, when you go to the mosque, you'll see a lot of this. You'll see Muslims make salat, And after making salat, they'll raise their hands and make dua. And then they'll blow in their hands and wipe over their faces and their heads and all this. This is an innovative act. Dua is an act of worship. Dua must be performed the way Allah and His Prophet have legislated. You cannot add to it. And there is no evidence anywhere that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would blow into his hands and wipe his face for making dua after salat. This is not from the Sunnah. So again, what we find from the Sunnah is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua during salat. He would make dua while he was in the position of sujood, or after the final tashahud. Okay? So we have to remember that all acts of worship must be performed the way Allah and His Prophet have legislated. We cannot add to them thinking it's going to bring us closer to Allah. Because in reality, all it's going to do is take you further away from Him. According to the majority of the scholars, a permissible act is the act. It is the act that neither brings about reward if performed, nor it brings about punishment if abandoned. I'll give you an example of this. One of the questions that somebody asked today on our question board was concerning the witr prayer. And she said that how she went to the mosque and some sister approached her and asked her, does she perform the witr prayer every day? So she told her, no, I don't perform it every day. And then the woman told her, well, you must make witr prayer every day. Witr prayer is a prayer that the Prophet always made, and we have to make it every day. This is a lie. Witr prayer is not obligatory upon us. Witr prayer is an optional prayer. You don't have to ever make it in your life. Allah is not going to punish you in a day of judgment because you never made witr. Okay? The same thing with the sunnah prayers. We only have to pray 5 times a day. Anything else we do is extra. And we do it for the reward, but Allah is not going to hold it over your head on the day of judgment. He's not going to say to you, He's going to throw you in the hellfire because you never made a sunnah prayer. He's not going to throw you in the hellfire because you didn't fast 3 days out every month. Okay? So we have to understand something here, guys. We have to understand the difference between that which is permissible and obligatory and that which is not obligatory. Too many Muslims, they confuse voluntary actions with obligatory ones. Yes, the Prophet Muhammad always made night prayer. He did. Allah ordered him to do so. But Allah did not order that on the rest of us. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to do witr, but he did not order us to do that, because that is an optional salat. So we need to be aware of that. Another thing that we need to be aware of is that all of our deeds, all of our actions are based on our intentions too. Ibn Qayyim, may Allah be pleased with him, said, those who are the closest to Allah are the ones who have their permissible acts turned into acts of worship and into a means of approach to Allah on account of their good intentions. We have to remember, guys, that everything we do is based on our intentions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that we get whatever we intend. And so thus, permissible acts can be turned into acts of worship if they are accompanied by good intentions. And I'll give you an example of this. Say, for example, sexual intercourse. Sexual intercourse by itself is not an act of worship. However, sexual intercourse becomes an act of worship if one intends by it to satisfy and fulfill his wife's needs and her rights. So thus you have taken a permissible act such as sexual intercourse, and based on your intentions, you have made it an act of worship because you are doing it to fulfill the responsibility that Allah has given you to your wife. Okay? So thus we need to understand what it means when we talk about doing permissible acts and how permissible acts becomes acts of worship. Again, they have to be done in accordance to the way Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has legislated. And those permissible acts may not be acts of worship on their own. They have to be based on your intention. And if it's based on your intention to obey Allah, then the permissible act can become an act of worship. We also have to understand that before a Muslim moves another step forward or performs any acts or good deeds, he is obligated to acquire knowledge in the path that will lead him to the best end. For example, you don't just jump up and decide you're going to start fasting. You need to know the rulings of fasting. That is why what we did here at this website, before Ramadan began, we spent 2 weeks going over the different rulings of Ramadan, the virtues of fasting, so that everybody would be aware of how we are supposed to perform this act of worship. Okay? The same with making salat. Before you can move a step forward in performing your salat, you have to first of all acquire knowledge of it. You have to know how it's done, what the positions are, what do you recite in each position, how many times do you pray, etc. And also we have to understand that before we can move forward in performing any good deed or action, there are two essential conditions that must both be present in order for that act to be accepted by Allah. A lot of people ask the question, they say, Sister Layla, how do we know if our fasts are accepted by Allah? How do we know that we will find the night of power? How do we know if Allah has accepted our salat? Well, if you have two essential conditions present, then most likely the deed is accepted. And those two conditions are, number one, whatever the deed is, it must be done for the sake of Allah alone. That's the first condition. So that means if you're going to fast, you must fast for the sake of Allah. You cannot say that you're fasting on behalf of the Palestinians. You cannot say you're fasting on behalf of the people in Iraq. Fasting is an act of worship. It must be done for Allah's sake alone. That's the first condition. So if you are fasting for the sake of Allah, that's one condition you have met which may guarantee that your deed will be accepted. The second condition that must exist is that it must be done the way Allah legislated. That means you must fast the way Allah told us to. You cannot innovate. You cannot add to it. Okay? So whatever deed you do, whether it be fasting, praying, making dua, the way that you can tell if those things are accepted is to check your heart, check yourself, make sure that your intentions are together, make sure that you're doing this for Allah and not to be seen of man, and make sure that whatever the deed is, that you're doing it the way Allah and His Prophet have instructed us to do it. Whenever one of those two conditions is absent from any righteous deed or action, then this deed or action is neither good nor will it be accepted. For Allah has told us in the interpretation of the meaning. So whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him work righteousness and associate no one as a partner in the worship of his Lord. So again, so that's how you can tell if your fast and deeds are accepted. Those two conditions must exist. We have to also understand, guys, as Muslims, that we were created to worship Allah. The whole purpose of us being put here on this planet, in this world of fitna, is to worship Allah. And we are ordered by Allah to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, to obey Him and stay away from those things which He has forbidden. Allah tells us in the interpretation, the meaning, He says, let there be amongst you a community who enjoins the good and forbids the evil, for it is they that shall be successful. You want to know how to be successful in this life? You want to know how to be successful in the hereafter? Enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Also, Allah tells us in the interpretation of the meaning, those who repent, those who worship, those who praise, those who remain patient, those who bow down, those who prostrate, and those who enjoin the good and forbid the evil, these are the ones who will be successful. So we're supposed to be spending our lives in this big place of fitna, guys, worshiping Allah and enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. And this quest is so great that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, he said, whoever sees something evil should change it with his hand. And if he cannot change it with his hand, then change it with his tongue by speaking out against it. And if that doesn't change it, then he should change it with his heart. And the way that you change it with your heart is hating it for the sake of Allah. Hating whatever that evil is for the sake of Allah. So what this hadith means is this, that we're not Christians. We don't sit around turning the other cheek. We don't sit around and turn our back. We see somebody do something wrong and say, oh, that's okay, let's pray for him. We don't do that. If you see somebody doing something wrong, you're supposed to try to stop him. If you can't stop him physically, then you speak out about it. You speak out against it. If that doesn't stop it, then you hate it with your heart. You hate it with your heart. I'll give you an example. Muslims today do not follow the Sunnah. This is why Allah is sending His punishment to us. This is why Allah is sending His wrath upon the Muslim world today as we speak. Because we disobey Him. We make a mockery of His beautiful religion. We have taken the Sunnah and tossed to the side, and we're blindly following our sheikhs and our imams. We're taking them and putting them above or equal to Allah and His Prophet. This is wrong. So being a believing Muslim, you see it's wrong, then you try to change it. So you can't change it physically, so what do? That's why we made this website. We can't change it physically. We can't grab a hold of all the Muslims in the world and shake them into reality. So we made this website, and we're speaking out against it. We're speaking out against the banning of the Sunnah. We're trying to call you back to the true Islam. We're trying to get you to practice Islam in its truthfulness based on Quran and Sunnah. We're speaking out against this stuff. Plus, we're hating it with our hearts, too. We're hating it with our hearts that the people have rebelled against the law and His messenger and His sunnah. So that's what that hadith means. That hadith does not mean that you sit back and turn the other cheek and say, oh, let's pray for them. No, you get up off your rocker. Muslims, we are active people. We are people of action. You get up off your rocker and you try to make that wrong right. You stand out and you speak against it. You don't sit there and roll over and play dead and say, oh, pray for them. That's the Christian cop out. That ain't the Muslim way of handling anything. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was not a single prophet among those who were sent before me who did not have apostles and companions with them. But afterwards, other generations came whose words belied their deeds and whose deeds were not in accordance with what they commanded them to do. Whoever struggles against them with his hand is a believer. Whoever struggles against them with his tongue is a believer. And whoever struggles against them with his heart is a believer. But when none of these things are done, then not a single mustard seed's weight of faith is present. And this hadith is authentic. And this hadith is something that every Muslim here needs to think about. The Prophet said, if you see something wrong, you're supposed to speak out. You're supposed to change it. If you don't, you're not a believer. And this is where what we have become today. So many Muslims are allowing people to get away with disobeying Allah, with abandoning the Sunnah. A lot of people ask the question, Layla, why do you keep going over things over and over again? Why do you keep using Ramadan as an example? Because I'm supposed to speak out. A lot of people say, Layla, why don't you ignore people? What you mean ignore them? I can't ignore nobody. When somebody comes saying things about this religion that is not true, when somebody innovates into this religion or misguides others, I can't sit back and say ignore them. It is my duty as a God-fearing Muslim to stand up and speak against it and put the person in check. I cannot roll over and play dead. I'm not a kafir. I'm not a hypocrite. I am one who fears Allah and Allah only. And that's what a believer does. They don't roll over and play dead. Okay, so we need to reflect on these hadiths, guys, and learn from these hadiths. We need to strive with all of our might to aim high in worshiping Allah. We need to imitate the behavior of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. We need to fear Allah as they did, as we strive to worship Him in His true oneness, free from blindly following others, free from believing in omens, free from believing in superstitions. And we need to read the stories of the companions too, guys, to learn how they handled situations, to learn how their faith was strong. Because again, so many of us claim that we believe in Allah and His oneness, but in reality we don't. Because instead of worshiping Him alone, we're worshiping others. We're worshiping our jobs. We're worshiping our money. We're worshiping our husbands. We're worshiping our children. We're worshiping our imams. We're worshiping our sheikhs, our scholars. And this is the same mistake that the Jews and Christians made. We need to stay away from this, guys, and get back to the reality of Islam. Get back to the meaning of Tawheed. Get back to what it means to worship Allah and believe in Him and His oneness. And I'm going to stop right here for today. And this will conclude the topic of worship. I did record all of these lectures, inshallah. You can download them from the website and listen to them. We're going to stop right here. If you guys have any questions,